Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your bulletin and find the notes that are inside of there, we're in a series that we've entitled Living by Faith. We've taken that from Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses there in your notes, printed out for you, explain what faith is and what it does and how you earn a good reputation and what we believe because of our faith. And we've looked at the different people who have been mentioned in this chapter specifically because of their faith. Today we're going to look at a gentleman by the name of Moses. And we're going to talk about a wonderful subject today. We're going to talk about suffering. As a collective groan goes across the crowd. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given him an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. You know, in today's society, if I was trying to sell something or give you something or offer you something, I would try to do everything I can to make it as attractive to you so that you would purchase it or take it, correct? But how many of you understand that sometimes in the Bible, it does its very best to discourage you from stepping into Christianity? Here's the deal. You know, if you become a Christian, I'll give you this, this, and this. That doesn't happen. Here's what it says. If you become a Christian, you get to suffer. Well, that's not a good sales job. I mean, who wants to sign up for that, right? And yet, over and over again throughout Scripture, suffering is addressed as a natural course of the Christian walk. It's just a part of what's involved in Christianity. So how do we do that? How do we live in a manner that understands that we suffer and do so to give us a great way of living? Moses is our example. And we're going to look at him this morning in the text that we just read and pick up some pointers for us so that we can live this life of suffering. Hooray! Okay, here's how it begins. Number one, don't be afraid of what might happen. That's where we're going to start. Don't be afraid of what might happen. You see, in verse 23 there of our text, you know, the parents did this. At this time, Pharaoh had issued an edict that all the Hebrew boys that were born were to be killed. What motivated this? The children of Israel was getting so large that he was afraid they were going to outnumber the Egyptians and eventually just take them over. So he wanted to put a stop to it. So Moses' parents have a son. They sense something's different about him, and they hide him. They put him in a basket in the river one day. The Pharaoh's daughter comes down, finds the baby, gets attached, and raises him as her own. That baby's name is Moses. And we're told here in these verses, they did this because they weren't afraid of what someone might do to them. They obeyed God without fear. Now, if you're going to obey God, you're going to have to fight fear. Now, here's what will happen. When suffering starts coming in, you're going to get afraid. And when you listen to fear, you don't want to suffer, do you? I don't want to go through that. I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't want to have to face this. And so fear comes in to cause you to pull away, correct? Cause you to go another direction, cause you to avoid it, whatever it can. And so fearing what's going on is an attempt to avoid suffering. But if I'm going to follow Christ, I can't be afraid of what might happen up ahead. Fear will keep you afraid of life. It's no way to live. Don't fear man and what he can do. Proverbs 29:25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, But trusting the Lord means safety. So don't be afraid of what might happen. Secondly, maintain your identity. Maintain your identity. In verse 24 of the text, it says that Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that because he knew he had another mom and dad. He refused it. You see, he identified with God's people. Too many Christians don't know who they are. Let me kind of put it to you this way. I am a Christian. Now, I am a Christian more than I'm an American. They are not the same, by the way. You ask me who I am? I'm a Christian. I am a Christian more than I am a husband. More than I am a father. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian more than I am, put your description of your job or what you do. I'm a Christian more than I am that. Now, let me even state this a step farther. I'm a Christian more than I am a male. For some of you, a female. My identity is in Christ, not in anything else. In the New Testament, talks about, you know, there's no longer this, and there's no longer this, there's no longer this. We're all the same in Christ, aren't we? But you see, if you're not careful, you will take your identity from who you are. Well, you know, I have some rights, you know, because this is who I am. You'll pick up some certain things. Moses knew who he was. I'm not Pharaoh's son. I'm the son of an Israelite couple. And you and I have to understand or identify with Christ. Who are you? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian more than anything else in life. Takes precedent over everything. Joshua understood this. In Joshua chapter 24, he gives that great little speech that we have, and he's talking to the children of Israel, and he says, look, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve, whether you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That no matter what else happens or goes on, this is who I am, and this is who I will be true to. And I am that more than anything else. Now, you and I need to understand that, because when difficult times come and suffering starts entering into our life, I need to know who I am. I'm a child of God. And I am that more than I am anything else. That's who I am. So I'm not afraid. I know who I am. And thirdly, keep in mind the cost. Serving God has a cost to it. Now, here's the great deal. The cost is the same for everybody. It's one price. What is the cost, Pastor? It's just everything you got. For everybody, it's just everything. And you see, Moses, when he's being talked about in this passage in verse 25 there, he says he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasure of sin. Now, the Bible is so honest, and here's what it tells us. Sin is pleasurable. Don't be shocked by that. If it wasn't, nobody would do it. There is pleasure in sin. The Bible says that. But notice, what kind of pleasure is it? Fleeting pleasure. It doesn't last. It doesn't make its way through the course of time. It's for a moment. It's temporary. It shows up and it's gone. Poor illustration, but I'll use it. You go out on a Friday night and you tie one on. Whatever that means. And to everybody, it means something different probably. I don't know. And you know, you do some things you maybe shouldn't have done, and you do this and you do that. And you, oh, wasn't that fun? And you wake up the next morning going, oh, what was I thinking? Fleeting pleasure. It's not a new concept. By the way, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God's been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are all instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. So there's pleasure. We should live in this evil world with wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God while we look forward to the hope, with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Now here's the deal. If you go to serve God, you're going to suffer. People will make fun of you. There will be oppression for serving God. People will look down on you. People will look at you and go, you're not one of those, are you? People will think you're judgmental. People will think you've got this high, holy idea of yourself and you look down on everybody. People will think you're no fun. People will accuse you of being intolerant. People don't want to be around you. People become against what you stand for. What you believe is important, they don't. And yet we serve God in spite of all of that. There's a cost. And the cost is I either have a choice between enjoying the pleasure of sin or I have the cost of obeying God and doing what's right, which is hard at times. I mean, as a teenager, it's pretty obvious. I could either go out and hang out with my buddies or I could stay home by myself. Now, the problem is my buddies were all enjoying the pleasures of sin. I suffered and stayed home. I mean, you know what it's like when you're 16, 17, 18 years old and you're staying home with mom and dad? That's suffering, let me tell you. Right? That's suffering. And that's the choice sometimes. But you see, there is a cost to serving God. People want to serve God and not change anything. People want to serve God and not want to pay the price. Well, I want to serve God, but I want to keep living this way. You can't do both. No man can serve two masters. And so I have to keep in mind that if I'm going to serve God, I'll pay the price. Moses chose the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. That's a hard choice, isn't it? They're just as quiet as the first service. Really difficult. Now, how do I do that? Well, next point, I understand what matters. I understand what's really important. Well, God just made me this way. No, he didn't. Well, it's just something I want to do. Too bad. Well, you got to accept me the way I am. No. You see, what matters? It says this about him in verse 26. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. Now, let's see. Moses is standing there and he's got a choice. I can have all the treasures of Egypt. And Egypt was the most wealthy nation on the face of the earth at this time. They had it all. Or I can be a slave. Let's see. Right? That's his choice. Now, his suffering was not that he was whipped. He wasn't physically abused. It wasn't that they put him in a torture chamber or a dungeon somewhere. He suffered because I reject this pleasure to have this opposition. He chose to go with Israel and suffer with them as slaves than to rule and reign in the palace and have it all. Or let me put it this way. He chose to serve rather than to rule. Wow. How could he do that? Because he knew what really mattered. See, is it more important for you to be, quote unquote, who you are? Well, if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter who you are. Or are you going to be who God made you to be? Well, one's easy. One's hard. That's why over the years, I can't tell you how many times people have walked out of the door past me and said, Pastor, that's really hard. And of course, you know what I told them. Well, if it's hard, don't do it. No. Is it hard? You betcha. It is. But Moses knew what was really important. Psalm 119. Your laws are my treasure. They're my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Now, I talked a little bit about this Wednesday night, but let me just say it again here. There is a false, mistaken idea that if I serve God and do everything God wants me to do, my life will be easy. That is not true. We think it is. Why do we think that? Because when we get through a hard time and are going through it, we begin to say, God, why are you doing this to me? And God, why am I in this? What did I do wrong? And if you'd listen real close, sometimes God would say, nothing. You didn't do a thing wrong other than choose to follow me. Because all throughout Scripture, it talks about this suffering and this idea of understanding of what really matters. And if I choose to follow Christ, that doesn't make my life easier. Sometimes that just makes my life harder. Like I told you at the beginning, this is a great sales job, isn't it? Who wants to sign up for this? I mean, I get to do this. I get to suffer. Boy, you know, glad I came this morning. This is wonderful. What matters? Matthew 6:9. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your choices reveal your heart. And if you want to have the pleasure of sin, you can have it temporarily. But you know what? It's not going to pay off. And so I have to know what really matters in life. And what matters is me serving God, no matter what happens to me. Okay. Let me keep going. How do I do that? I magnify the future. I magnify the future. Verse 26, it tells us, he was looking forward to his great reward. Now, let me just tell you something. Yeah, Pastor, I understand. I get a reward when I die. Well, that's true. But let me also tell you this. You also get a reward now. Because you know what? I have dealt with, I don't know how many people, been friends with how many people who chose the fleeting pleasures of sin and 2 years later regretted it immensely. I've known too many people who made bad choices when they were younger and how they regretted as they got older. It was great at the moment, but it ended up costing a whole lot. I've never met anybody who chose to follow God who regretted it. Because you know what? When you make the hard decisions to suffer and not enjoy all that stuff, years down the road, boy, you don't regret that. And God gives you reward for obeying him. The problem is we are such immediate people, aren't we? I want it now, and this is good now. I'll deal with the rest later. But you don't want to deal with the rest later. And God, throughout Scripture, tells us, look, when people come against you, when you have to suffer for doing what's right, when people don't understand you, when you don't get to do everything everybody else gets to do, when you don't get to participate with them in the things that they do, when you don't get to talk like them and use words that they use, and you don't get to go places that they go because it's not healthy for you as a Christian, and you will suffer and you will feel like I'm missing out on everything. No, you're not. You're soaring it up for the future. Because if I make good choices today, and I've always dealt with this, with especially with young people and older people as well, well, how do I know God's will for my life? It's very simple. If you'll do what's right today, tomorrow will be wonderful. That's the future. If you do what's wrong today, tomorrow's not going to be fun. It's just not going to happen. We tend to see the immediate rather than the future. And he says, magnify the future. Look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you of evil because you follow the Son of Man? Blessings? Now he even stretches it farther. Yeah, when that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy. Hooray! For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. Moses is one of those ancient prophets, by the way. So the Bible tells us, count it all joy when you enter into. Why? Because you've made a decision to suffer for Christ. That's not a downer. That's a positive. This is a positive message. When I have to choose to do what's right in God's sight, there is some suffering involved in that, and it's not always easy, and it's downright hard at times, and people don't understand, and some people don't like it, because I'm going to take a stand for what I know is right with God. I need to do that. No, well, I'm suffering for Jesus. Pray that I make it. I don't know if I can hold on much longer. I'm not having any fun. Everybody else is out. Now, be happy. Leap for joy. Okay, you're going to have to work on that some, aren't you? Hebrews 10. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that he's promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. In other words, they'll live in obedience. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we're not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. We will stay true to God. We will make choices that honor him. We will do what is right. And those choices at times will cause us to suffer, to not get our way, to not, you know, in this world today, well, you got to be true to yourself. No, you don't. You got to be true to God. Amen. Well, you know, it's just who you are. It's okay. God understands. Yeah, he understands. You're doing your own thing. You're not willing to say no to yourself and do what's right. Look at the future. Don't just think of the moment. Don't just think of yourself. Think of what a good choice will reap for you up ahead in this life and in the one to follow. And when you just want to enjoy the pleasure of sin and be you and do what you want to do and think you're right and think you're okay, understand, payday's coming. And you won't like what you get. Finally, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. That passage ends with Moses. They left the land of Egypt. They weren't afraid of the king. Moses commanded the people to keep the Passover. He commanded them to do that. They went right through the Red Sea. You keep marching forward. You keep going on. You keep doing what God calls you to do. You don't stop. You don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. You don't just kind of get through or barely make it. You keep marching forward to what God has put into your life. You stay true to your mission. You keep going in the direction that God has for you. Proverbs 4:25, look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. 2 Corinthians 4:17, our present troubles are small, won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let's strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Notice because of the joy awaiting him. There's that word again, isn't it? Because of the suffering he went through, how could he do that? Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of highest honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. This is hard for us. And yet it's the core of our walk with God. It's what Moses teaches us in this passage of faith more than anything else. Here's a man who was raised in Pharaoh's family. Could have had all the riches of Egypt. It was his by his inheritance. And yet he chose to identify with God's people. You and I, every day, can have anything this world has to offer if we want it. And there's pleasure in it. But we choose to do what's right before God because we're Christians. And we know that serving God means we have to say no to some things in this earth in order to say yes to what God wants. And following God isn't always easy. And making the right choices doesn't always mean that life goes well. But it does mean there is a reward ahead. So the question this morning is very simple. Are you choosing the pleasures of sin that are temporary? Or are you choosing to suffer for Christ and do what's right? Or may you making excuses in your life saying, I can do this and I can be this and it'll be okay because it's easy and it's simple and it's what I want. Or are you willing to abandon everything you have and everything you are for the sake of Christ, who will give you much more than the world will ever give you? That's the question today. And it mentions here the Passover, that passage there in Hebrews that we read in our text. It was the first time it ever was celebrated because God was getting ready to set the children of Israel free. And he told them, he said, look, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to slaughter it. I want you to take its blood. I want you to put it on the doorframe of your house. I want you to take the lamb inside. I want you to eat it, and I want you to get ready to travel. And I'm going to send the death angel over the land. And whenever it passes over any house that does not have the blood over the doorpost, the firstborn son in that house will die. But if you have the blood over the doorpost, you are free. And you live. And year after year after year, the Jewish nation celebrates Passover. But one day, Jesus brings his disciples into a room where they're getting ready to celebrate Passover, and he changes everything. He says, I'm giving you a new way today. This bread is my body. It's broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. And every time you take of it, I want you to remember me. See, every time they celebrate the Passover, they remembered Egypt. He says, now I want you to remember me. And if you will apply his blood to the doorpost of your life, your heart, you are free. He sets you free. Now that freedom means I'll serve him and suffer sometimes. And I will choose him over everything else in life, even my identity, because I no longer live, but now Christ lives in me. And I live for him and not for me.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag. or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.